This is the No More Wasted Days podcast, and we're your hosts, Sarah Kaufman Bradstreet
and Heather Peachy. Grab your favorite NA drink and listen as we share vulnerable stories so you never feel alone on your alcohol-free journey.
And gain insights from us as we break down our most used tips and strategies that have kept us alcohol-free.
It's time to break free from wasting any more of your days to the drinking, blackout, hangover cycle.
Welcome to the No More Wasted Days podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Sarah.
And I'm Heather.
And today we have a very special episode for you because Heather has just celebrated her 3-year alcohol-free anniversary. And she is going to share 3 things that she's learned so far. And you have to hang on to the very end because the last one that she'll share is definitely the best one. So I'm excited to dive into this topic. But first, Heather has a pretty funny story to share with us.
Yes. So welcome back to the pod, y'all. So this week, I went to the store that I go to probably every other day. I had to go to the bathroom and checked out. I got home. I looked in the passenger seat, and there was the key to the store restroom.
I don't think I've ever done that one. I'm like, I feel like you went to a whole nother level right there.
I did. And I said out loud, well, shit. And I put the things in the refrigerator, and I went right back, kind of like the walk of shame in college. And I was like, here's your key to your potty. I'm sorry. She just looked at me.
And it's like, you think of all the times you went out drinking and you'd get home and you'd be like, oh my God, do I have my phone? Do I have my wallet? Mm-hmm. Do I have my keys?
Debit card.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. And I was very fortunate in that I feel like I never lost any of those major things as a drinker. But I lose things or walk off with things so much in my sober life.
Yeah, it's like spastic sober edition, Heather shenanigans.
Sober edition, Heather shenanigans. Yeah, so if you're hoping that if you quit drinking, your life will become more organized, it will. But there are some parts of you that are just parts of you. I was telling Heather beforehand, I was like, I've just learned to like accept that I'm a little bit more scattered than the average person. And I'm trying to look at it more as like my superpower now and just be like, this is who I am. And I have to accept the fact that actually it doesn't bother me as much as it bothers some people. So maybe it's a good thing.
It's a good thing to embrace. We're all human.
Yeah. And then I have a fun thing. Yesterday I turned 45.
What?
Which I shared on social media, and I had a lot of people tell me, I thought you were a lot younger than that. So thank you to those kind souls.
Yeah.
Because I was definitely leading up to the birthday thinking, oh my God, I'm really old. Like I'm definitely hit the halfway point, or this could be the halfway point of my life, right? And it just was kind of hitting me. Like I wasn't super excited leading up to the birthday. And then luckily I got really excited the day before. And I am knowing now that 45 is not the end of the road, everybody. And it was an amazing sober birthday. It is my 4th sober birthday. I've almost been sober now for 5 years, but I quit right after my 40th birthday party. So it's like I'm one behind on those. But man, sober birthdays are the best. Sober celebrations are the best. I just think of all the times as a drinker, when I would like, oh, it's my birthday. Well, I'm going to drink all day. I would probably try to do all the things we did yesterday, which we went on a hike. We sat in the hot tub. We hung out with our kids when they got home, had cake, ice cream, all the good stuff. But I would have done it all with drinking. It would have been like, let's go out to eat first and have mimosas before the hike. Let's bring a beer to have once we get to the viewpoint. Let's, when we get home, be sure we're drinking in the hot tub. And that progression of drinking through a celebration day would always end in me being unhappy. It would end in this train wreck. Sometimes I'd end crying. Sometimes I'd end up mad for stupid reasons that I couldn't even explain the next day. And it was just a joyful, relaxed, and calm day. It was great.
And you feel good this morning?
Yeah, I feel great. And we went on like an 8-mile hike. I mean, I'm a little bit could go for a nap at some point today, but I also, it's not because I'm hungover. Like I just feel renewed. I feel great. And that's how you should feel after a celebration. You should feel like that. So
well, happy birthday.
Thank you so much. It was a great day. And now we get to really dive in.
Let's do it.
Before we dive into talking to Heather all about celebrating her 3-year alcohol-free anniversary, we want to invite you to join the Daymakers community. It is open for you to join at any time. You can do a week-long trial for just $7, which is way less than a bottle of wine, I have found out. Especially if you're out to dinner. Whoa, prices have gone up a lot since I quit drinking. But you can try it out and you get to do weekly group coaching calls with Heather and I, where it really is like you're getting that close connection to both of us and the other members of our community. We do things like a monthly book club. We have monthly habit trackers, a private message thread. So it's just a cool thing to check out. If this sounds like the support you need on your alcohol-free journey, or maybe you're sober curious, come check us out and see what you think.
Yeah, come on, y'all.
All right. Are you ready to talk all about your 3-year alcohol-free anniversary?
I'm ready. And what led me to this moment. So yeah,
yeah, go. Yeah. I know. She's really excited, you guys, because Heather has her whole story leading up to quitting drinking in this episode and just so many things. But first, I just want to know, do you celebrate on your soberversary? Like, did you do something fun, or do you just kind of acknowledge it quietly within?
Well, both. So I saw some clients, which was really cool to be able to help folks one-on-one with this very same issue that we share in common. And I had vegetarian pizza, brownies, and just relaxed and watched TV, which may sound really boring, but previously I had gotten 2 new tattoos. I got my hair done. So it was kind of an ongoing month-long celebration, if you will.
I really like that. I did tell my husband we have ours coming up like in a month now. And when we were out on our hike yesterday for my birthday, I said, I want to do the same thing for our 5-year alcohol-free anniversary. Like, it's a big deal. So I want to celebrate like it's a birthday.
Yeah. To me, it's as important, if not more, than my actual birthday.
And I'm sure you did some reflecting, which we'll talk more about in the episode. But before we move on to that, did 3 years feel any different than hitting the 1-year mark or the 2-year mark?
Yes. Year 3 so far feels more peaceful. Year 1, I felt like I needed to thank the Academy, like I needed to give a speech, like I had won an award, which I did, as defined by me. In year 2, it was more of like, okay, it had settled. And now it just feels more of acceptance mm-hmm. and more at peace.
Yeah. I love that you use the words at peace on your journey, because I remember the 3rd year anniversary for me felt different because it didn't feel as momentous, but not in a bad way. Like, it just kind of felt like, this is what I'm doing. This is my life and I'm really happy with it. So I'm happy to hear that you felt the same. So one more question for me before you tell us your story. What is your favorite? This is so hard to answer. I gave her this one and I was like, this one changes for me every single day. It's not even fair. What is, or are, you can give us more, your favorite parts of sobriety?
Well, yeah, there's a lot. I would say off the top of my head, just being present in a life that I don't have to escape from, whether it's good things that are happening, bad things that are happening, just normal daily happenings are just better without booze.
Yes. Oh, you nailed it on the head right there. The being present for life that like you enjoy, that you fully choose to be a part of.
Yes. It's so empowering because you have to own what owns you, and being able to own it and not have alcohol own me is just super empowering.
Yeah, man. Oh, that's like a quotable right there, because that's huge. Thank you. You did it so well. I would have been like, man, this and that. You summed it all up perfectly. So I can't wait to hear you share your story of just leading up to, like, what led you to quit drinking?
So what I know so far about myself, I've never done things the easy way in most cases. As an example, social work is a very stressful career with little financial reward. I'm a lesbian. I mean, they're 2 great things,
yeah,
but they're not easy mm-hmm. paths. Speaking of easy, drinking was easy. Quick relief for any occasion, good, bad, indifferent. It's easily acceptable, accessible, and it's cheap-ish.
Yeah, relatively.
And legal. So basically, like a lot of people, I just wanted to be numb. from grief, humanness, feelings, and fear. What I do find interesting is I started listening to podcasts like ours in 2017. I would listen to podcasts about sobriety on the way to work, and on the way home, I would listen about podcasts about IVF. For those who are listening, that is the fertility journey that I was on at that time. And to me, this seems like obvious self-sabotage now in terms of the order in which I listened to the podcast. Because the witching hour was on the way home. So let's, you know, I would suggest that anybody listen to a sober podcast during your witching hour.
Yeah. It's a 4 o'clock thing.
Yeah. And if you go back to the episode about ego, your ego pitches a fit right before you're about to make a significant change in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me, my ego pitched a hell of a fit, like a 4-year long fit.
Oh, to be in your head during that 4 years. And I know what you're talking about because I contemplated quitting drinking, taking a break from drinking, changing my relationship with alcohol for probably 4 years. It took a long time.
Yeah, I was aware, but I did not have the awareness that I have now in the rearview mirror, so to speak.
Yeah.
So then my daughter was born and I was born again. And that may seem really strange to some, but when you have a baby at 40 that you went through hell to get, you are kind of born again.
Mm-hmm.
You're a person that you've never been before. You're a new parent. You're just new.
Yeah.
And you're 40 in my case. So those are two big happenings within 36 hours of each other because she was born 36 hours before I turned 40.
Oh, that's so cool.
It is cool. So it was a lot. And the pandemic in May of 2020. So there were a lot of interesting happenings going on.
Oh, I have so many questions about having a baby during the pandemic. And if you, like, the nurses probably all had masks on and just what a crazy experience. So, like,
yeah,
to add to an already huge, and I don't want to say traumatic thing because birth is really normal, but it is. It's like a huge change in your life overnight. And then to add to it, we're in a worldwide pandemic.
Right.
Like, that's wild. For some reason, I always forget that piece of your story, too. So I'm so glad you shared it.
Yeah. I think the pandemic had a lot to do with my personal rock bottom. So this is a very abbreviated version.
Mm-hmm.
So after I quit drinking, I got cancer, breast cancer, at about 100 days. And I fought cancer and alcohol for a year. And every single day was holy and hell. What I mean by holy is special and sacred. What I mean by hell, hard, fucking hard. Excuse my language.
Yeah.
But truly.
Anybody who's been through it's like a battle every single day. And when you're quitting drinking, it's already a smaller battle. But then to fight cancer or any serious illness, that's crazy.
Yeah. It was life-changing, to say the least.
Yeah.
It's definitely true that, or proof that two things can be true at the same time, like holy and hell.
Mm-hmm.
And my drinking story is not that significant, honestly. I want y'all to keep listening because, as they say, if you keep listening about other people's story, you'll hear your own. I started drinking some in high school and college. It wasn't until my mid-20s that I started drinking a lot. My first love, he was very sick, and we split up, and I used that as an excuse to party. And to me, that meant you drink all the vodka and do the cake stands and dance on your coffee table, the crazy things that we do. So that remained pretty consistent. Like, sometimes I would drink more than others, you know, it ebbs and flows. And insert some grief. My first love passed away a year and a half later. My dad died. And I was acutely aware that I was numbing the grief and the feelings with alcohol.
Yeah. And like you said, it's easy.
Yeah. It's cheap, easy, socially acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not realize that I was using alcohol as much as I was, honestly. I knew it, but I didn't know to what extent.
Yeah.
In terms of a coping mechanism. So I found No More Wasted Days on TikTok. I think it was in January of 2021. It might have been December of 2020. I don't remember because I was drunk. I don't remember joining like the big Facebook group with No More Wasted Days, but I'm very glad that I did. And like a lot of people listening to the podcast, I started lurking and asking questions and reading a lot of posts. And on April 11th, 2021, that was my last day or first day as a non-drinker.
Amazing. So cool, Heather. Like, it's you have such an amazing story. And I know people will find themselves somewhere in there because it is kind of when you say that you couldn't even see how much you were drinking as a drinker. I think that hits home for a lot of us because I always tell people that. I'm like, I felt like it was normal. And then when I stopped, I was able to go, oh, because I finally started seeing other people not drinking. And I was like, oh, it's not that everybody's drinking. It's that I had my drinking goggles on.
Yeah. And you attract people that you have commonalities with.
Yeah.
So if you look at your circle and they're all drinkers, that's just going to further justify your drinking.
Yeah.
Because then it's even more normalized. So April 11th, 2021. I think the day chose me because it was a Sunday. It wasn't like I'm going to quit drinking tomorrow type of mindset. The first 3 days were absolutely terrible. Day three, hands down, the most difficult. I'll never forget it. I rage cleaned my daughter's playpen area. I started to read Quitlet, listening to podcasts, talking to my therapist. I joined an additional sobriety group just to have as many resources as possible because on day three, I was like, Lord, this ain't that. Like, I need support at my fingertips to make it. And like I've said before, it was like walking around with sea legs after a cruise in terms of feelings, like a big, raw nerve trying to be a people in the world.
Yeah. It's a crazy thing, too, because other people don't know you're doing it. It's like, right. I mean, people do. You had told your therapist you were part of the 30-day challenge. You were part of another sober community. So people knew, right? But the people, a lot of times the people closest to us don't know. I'm sure Martha knew, your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like, for me, that's all it knew. Me and Ryan, we were on a little journey. And for you, it's you and Martha. And she knew. But it's like, otherwise, it's just quiet. So you just really do feel like, oh my God, you're like exposed. Like when you say, it's like you have no skin on. It's just the perfect description in so many ways.
Yeah. And I think it's wise to not tell a whole lot of people because you're trying to manage your own reaction and response.
Mm-hmm.
Adding another layer to that with telling a lot of people can be really overwhelming. It may not set you up for success, or it may, you know.
Yeah.
I just think trying to manage other people's reactions when you don't even know your own reaction could be really challenging in those first couple of days.
Oh, yeah. That's what I tell people all the time, too. Like, I was just learning, even if I was really quitting forever. Like,
yeah,
I couldn't tell other people because I wasn't sure myself.
Right.
You had a book that you read that was kind of a game changer for you.
Yes. I read The Unexpected Joys of Being Sober by Catherine Gray. And it had, like, halfway through, had a list of things to do. But I love a list. And I needed to stay busy. So I did every single thing on the list. And one of those was go to the doctor. And I did. And then I got diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yeah. Because you did your yearly, you got your blood work done. And then they said, oh, you need to have a mammogram. Let's get you all set up.
Yeah. And I was so proud that my liver function tests were good for the first time in years. So I was like, woohoo, look at me. And then I got the call about my mammogram.
Crazy. That is so crazy. Like, I feel like I'll always remember the day that you just messaged me and told me. So it's wild.
It most certainly is. So before I finish the rest of the story and tell you the three things I've learned so far, I want to invite you to check out the link in the show notes and consider one-on-one coaching with me. We can chat a lot about this stuff. This resonates for you. Hit the link and let's connect.
Yeah, it can be a great thing to do. And as you're listening to Heather, you can hear like she had so many different support systems set up with the therapist, two different sober communities. So Heather can be one of your support systems. If you feel inspired, check it out. All right. I'm going to let you continue on.
Okay. So as I said before, battling breast cancer as a new mother, a new sober person was very, very hard. You know, when I entered my story, so to speak, I talked about, you know, not doing things the easy way.
Yeah.
Well, here we go.
You just went in your traditional path.
Right? So a lot of people say, well, how did you do it? And honestly, I did it similarly to how I quit drinking. Lots of support, therapy, coaching. And I decided to use my stubbornness to my advantage. And I fought like hell.
Yes.
I make it sound easy. It was not easy.
No. You know, whenever you answer the question, how did I do it, for somebody, it always sounds easier than it is. Whenever people ask me that question, how'd you quit? How do I quit? I'm like, how much time do you have?
Yeah.
It's such a layered process. It really, really is. And it's not just the quitting drinking, and it's just, there's so much to it. I know both of us could just go on and on and on about it.
Yeah, for sure. As far as the three things that I've learned so far, I want y'all to hang on, because the third is the best, in my opinion. Number one, alcohol is boring, and so is addiction. It's deadly and it's boring.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. And it's real. It's deadly, boring, and real.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally have not met anybody that I deeply admire that has had an easy past.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about alcohol, as we've said many times, Sarah, it is so socially acceptable. And it's one of the most addictive drugs in the world.
Yeah.
And I want to say again, not everything about my drinking was bad until it was. And things don't have to be bad to not be good for you. I really think we ask ourselves the wrong question. You know, am I an alcoholic? I think the question should probably be, is this thing, whatever your thing is, good enough to stay the same?
I really like that question. I think it's far better than asking, am I an alcoholic? Because it is being stuck.
Yeah. I didn't know that was even a question when I was in the thick of it. So if you're listening and you're thinking about quitting, ask yourself, is this good enough to stay the same? Number two, the hardest part is deciding to quit.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anything. Whatever your thing is, it's the wavering back and forth. It'll drive you crazy.
It's, yes.
And then I think one of two things happen. Your life and your thing, in my case, alcohol, you get so miserable and you're in so much pain, emotionally, physically, mentally, that you have to change. You really don't have a choice. Oh, you do. Or you ask yourself, is this good enough for me to continue? And mm-hmm. if the answer to that is no, and you make your decision, it is far easier once you've decided.
Yeah.
That said, I realized that alcohol is 10% of the issue. It's like, hold my LaCroix, damn it. The 90% is the work. So I think it's really important to do the work. I think that is quote unquote secret to my success. And just the idea that alcohol enhances your life is bullshit. It really is.
It so is. That's like the one thing. If people can hear that and just give it a chance, it's like, oh yeah, you can see.
Yeah. And you, speaking of the seeing, you have to do. It's in the doing
mm-hmm.
and the consistency. And if you do the things, if you do the work and you're consistent with it, the return on investment is unreal. One of the things I admire most about any human is their willingness to work on themselves and have a better life.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that you said that, because that is always the, when I think about the people who I hope, you know, try the 30-day alcohol-free challenge or hop into the Daymakers, all I ever hope is that they are people who are willing to work on themselves, who are willing yeah. to see that they can improve no matter where they are. If you feel like you're super low and you just can't see your way out of the hole, like, we can help you see that. And if you start believing it, and then, or if you're, you know, you're like, oh, I do self-work all the time, but I always know there's room for improvement. Those are my people.
Yes, same. Number three, here's my favorite that I've learned so far. I am lucky enough to have found me. 100%, 40, almost 44-year-old me.
Yep.
From the Enneagram, astrology, human design, ancestry, spirituality. I want to know it all, even if I don't like it or agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's me data about me. So it helps me put together the puzzle of myself so that I can help and know others and be the best version of myself every day.
Yeah.
I can write the story of me within the parts that I can control. And that is the most important thing I've learned so far. And I'm worth it.
I love that. You almost had me crying there at the end.
I wondered if I was going to cry too.
Yeah, that was big. Wow, Heather, thank you so much. Like, those three things, and that I'm so lucky to find me. I think one of the reasons I was a little emotional yesterday on our hike, I kept telling Ryan, I said, well, I want to say some things, but every time I start, I feel like I'm going to cry. And I just want you to know that I'm having a good time. But that was one of them. Like, I'm so lucky to know who I am. And because I feel like I didn't for so long.
Yeah. Yeah, there's such a disconnect when you're numb and in denial and in the shits. And the only way out is through.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get through and you can reflect, it really is a gift.
Yeah. Well, thank you so, so much for sharing this. I think the listeners, like, someone's going to resonate with some part of this podcast, or every person is going to resonate with at least one part of this episode. And I think that hearing other people's stories was so motivating to me in the beginning, because I would look at people and go, well, if they can do it, I can do it. I stopped mm-hmm. saying things like, oh, Heather has 3 years and I only have 30 days. No, I started being like, Heather has 3 years and I'm going to do that too. I'm going to get to that level. And
yeah,
I think it's proof.
It is. It is proof. And when you get in community with other folks who are trying to improve their life, there's so much to learn from other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they may say something at the exact right moment that your ears have the capacity to hear it, and it lands, and you're like, well, dang.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree. So, well, I think we should probably wrap it up, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
I feel like I had so much fun listening to you share the story. I hope everybody else did too. And if you guys, if this resonates with you, if you are enjoying this podcast, the easiest way to support us, and it's totally free and takes very little time, is to go hit the rating button. So give us a rating. I'm in a little push right now for us to get 100 ratings. So I don't know what we'll be at by the time this one airs. But man, if we get to 100, then I've got a new goal set. If you're looking at the ratings and you're like, well, she already got there, then keep them going, because it is the thing that tells the podcast algorithms, like, people like this, let's share it with more people. So it is one of the best ways to support our podcast.
Definitely. Leave us a rating and a review and share this with a friend if you think it may resonate with them.
Yeah. And be sure to check out all of our links in the show notes and go follow both of us on social media. And we hope to see you on the next podcast.
Yep. Bye, y'all.